Cinephile. Nicolas Cage.
Very sincere group of film enthusiasts who are proudly cinephiles.
Oh my goodness, Warren Beatty apparently read the wrong name. This is incredible. Oh, Moonlight won Best Picture.
Cinephile. Ethan Hawke.
It's kind of like I'm a professional actor and I direct for love. There's so much in this world that's dividing us, and music is one of those great tools that brings us together.
Paul Rudd.
There's baseball and World War II. It's kind of a dream.
Cinephile, the Adnan Virk Movie Podcast.
All right, yes. Why wasn't I still recording?
That would have been gold. Could have run that as the open.
Great to have you with us, as always, on Cinephile. No reviews, per se, of critic reviews, because we're recapping the Tribeca Film Festival. What a wonderful event it was to be a part of. Thanks, as always, to everybody who downloads and subscribes to Cinephile. Go to iTunes and rate and review. I rank my movies at a 4-Maple Leafs. Please rank us at a 5 stars and post a review as well. That's how we get more traction and more buildup, so appreciate all of you doing that. Rick Passmore alongside. Dan Stanzik got pulled into a meeting, so unfortunately our producer's not alongside us. But Ricky is here, and it's vital that Rick is here, because he and I tag-team Tribeca together, which was a fun adventure. Also, shout-out to Cliff, who is our board up today. Go Flyers, go Eagles. Also a big Meek Mill guy coming out of prison. Before we get into Tribeca, though, I want to just get into this a little bit, because I had mentioned on the previous podcast, A Quiet Place, and Ricky, you being a horror film aficionado, that you would appreciate this. You were hot off the heels of seeing it last night. I said it's the first great film of 2018. How good was it? You're the aficionado in this genre.
It's one of the best horror films I've ever seen. And that's saying something.
The Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Blair Witch Project.
It's going to be up there. It's going to be talked about, and not specifically for... like you talk about Rosemary's Baby, Exorcist, all more demonic stuff. This horror film really sits with how you develop characters to make them emotionally attached. Right. How you use all of your tools, use camera, use sound design to bring the audience in and then hit them. Like, there's jump scares. Like, every horror movie has it. You're not going to get away with it. Without it, I should say.
Yeah.
But the use of the audio, the use of sound design is phenomenal, and making it a viable plot point and using the little Easter eggs throughout, like thinking things aren't going to play through, but definitely making them work later on.
Mm-hmm.
John Krasinski, make more horror movies, man. Make more horror movies. Let's do this. Let's bring it back.
Makes you excited for the potential that a guy who is known as a funny guy in the office now has a filmmaker. Like, that kind of film is so successful, you say, all right, he's a bona fide filmmaker. He can do a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
So, I agree with you. I can't wait to see more. If you haven't seen A Quiet Place, you should go see it. All right, Ricky and I are going to talk about the red carpet and Paris Hilton and Brittany Furlan and our boy Ben Lyons and all the rest of it. But first off, thank you to Alan, who is a donor. You know, we have the V Foundation here at ESPN. All the funds go towards cancer research. And Alan bid and successfully won the Cinephile package, which is you can come here to ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, watch me and Rick and Dan and hopefully Ben's here do a Cinephile together, and then go from there. Have lunch at the Calf, walk around. You want to go be Mel Kiper, whatever we do. And then we go to Tribeca, which is a film festival in New York, watch a film together, have dinner. So I'm all set last Thursday to go meet Alan, who won successfully, bid the package. The guy paid like $5,700 for this. Unfortunately, couldn't make it due to travel plans. And so I just want to say thank you, Alan, for being so generous and being so beneficent. And if you'd like to collect at some point, I don't know, maybe come to Bristol, reach out through the Cinephile ESPN account. Let me know, because I still want you to collect because you paid up. So eventually I ended up taking the car myself to go see what we were going to see with Alan and his girlfriend Vanessa, which is the Schindler's List panel discussion. So I had a Little League game. I'm the manager of my eldest son's team. So we had Little League first, and then I hopped in the car and got there. So I timed it well. I got there right at 9:30. I literally walk in. I don't know if you haven't seen Schindler's List in a while, but I got in right at like the train station scene. I'm like, all right, this is the emotional apex of the movie. I could have done more, et cetera. So it was nice to see it on the big screen, although I did see Schindler's List on the screen originally. I mean, it came out in 93. I was 15. But just to see it in that theater, obviously, is a cool venue, the Beacon Theater in New York City. And then afterwards, the panel comes out. You got Spielberg, Liam Neeson, Ben Kingsley. So the heavy hitters are there. And just to share a couple of the stories from it, here's what I found fascinating. I mean, we know it's Spielberg's personal project. We know how much he put himself into it. But he needed some humor. He needed some levity because of the fact it was such an intense project. And Janet Maslin, who was the moderator, I used to love her work as a film critic. Now I think it works a lot of books in the New York Times. But she said to him, is it true you're a big Seinfeld fan to let loose? And he said, no, what happened is Robin Williams would call me once a week. And he goes, Robin knew the time difference. He was in San Francisco and I was in Krakow. and he would call me, and it'd be 10, 15 minutes. But typical Robin, as a comedian, whenever he'd get the biggest laugh, he would just hang up on me. It wasn't even like, all right, good talking to you. It was like, all right, big laugh, and then hang up. So he goes, Robin's phone calls were invaluable, and he said we also would watch a lot of Saturday Night Live. As a whole crew, we'd watch it. And Janet Madsen said, but Seinfeld? And Spielberg goes, well, no, listen, I love Seinfeld. He's great, but only in America. I did not watch it while making Schindler's List. Clear that up. And Janet Madsen said, a couple of urban myths I want to ask you about. He said, sure. She goes, is it true Mel Gibson was at one point rumored to be the lead? Which immediately got titters from the crowd, considering Mel Gibson's comments and anti-Semitic tirades and the fact that he could have been Oscar Schindler. Spielberg quickly denied, said no, it was never consideration. She said, is it true Scorsese could have directed it, which I know to be true. Spielberg said, yes, that is true. Originally, Marty had the rights to Schindler's List, and Spielberg had Cape Fear, and then being good friends, they decided to switch it. But as Janet Madsen said, and I've often thought, imagine the film Scorsese would have made. I mean, Schindler's List is brilliant, but just imagine what Marty would have done with it. And they went from there. He also said that, you know, making the project was taxing, and it's tough to kind of rank your own filmography. But Spielberg said, I've never had a film of such substance or such importance since then. I can't rank it all time and say it's the best movie I've done. I can't say it's the most important movie I've done. But since that era, 93 on, he's been making movies for 25 years. He said, yeah, that's the one that stands up to me past then. He also may have had one of the great years ever in cinematic history. 1993, Jurassic Park came out and Schindler's List. I mean, boffo box office that changed the business. And a critically acclaimed film about the Holocaust, which is a defining film for a generation and woven with such artistry that really it's tough to top. So Spielberg really hit it out of the park there. Liam Neeson told stories as well, being a guy who had done a lot of stage work. He said, you know, obviously it was overwhelming to be there with Spielberg. And he said it really hit one of the first few days. They're filming in the ghetto. And one of the guys who was a Holocaust survivor was on the set. And he told Liam Neeson, he goes, see that hut over there? That used to be mine. And Liam Neeson said, wow, now I'm really effing in it. And Ben Kingsley didn't speak enough. You know, this is tough for the moderators. I know it's hard to try to spread the wealth, but I would like more Ben Kingsley. The one thing he did say, though, he said his character, who is the epitome of goodness, Spielberg said, if you were to epitomize his character in one word, what would it be? And Kingsley said witness, and Spielberg said, my word for you is conscience. And they said, okay, got it. And it was like both of them were on the same page of what that character is meant to represent. If Ralph Fiennes is the epitome of evil and Ben Kingsley is the epitome of good, then Oscar Schindler's kind of in the middle. And originally, he's just profiteering. All he cares about is making money. And then by the end, he obviously has a great heart and he gives up so much of himself to save so many of these Jews. So it's obviously such a powerful film and a very important movie to Spielberg. I'm so glad I got to actually be there at the screening and hear those stories about those guys all telling stories about it. Also went to a Sarah Jessica Parker screening. Interesting because we're killing a bit of time here before me and Ricky went and saw The American Meme, which is Ben Lyons, our buddy, the executive producer of that film, directed by Burt Marcus. Sarah Jessica Parker was holding a talk. And she was good. I was hoping, really praying for an L.A. story, because I love that Steve Martin comedy she's in. But she talked about Sex and the City. She's not actually from New York, even though Mary Carrillo, the moderator, pointed out, you think of her as a quintessential New York girl because of Sex and the City. But she said, no, actually, I believe she's from Ohio. But she said, the thing about New York is that it's a city you love and hate in many ways. She said that the traffic is nauseating. Certain things don't work that should, but there's certain passion you get, and that's what she tried to convey in Sex and the City. She's also got a new movie out as well, which I hope to see at some point, and that's what she was promoting there at the festival. So some good stories about her. Married to Matthew Broderick now, 21 years, been together 26 years. So he's talking about Hollywood marriages that endure and can work. Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick are an example of that. And a very strong working woman. She's got three kids. I mean, she's still rather prolific in her career. Divorce is a hit show on HBO with the great Thomas Hayden Church. She's still balancing family life. So kudos to her for making it successful as a Hollywood actress after so many years. So then we get to American Meme. And we're on the red carpet, and Ben has hooked us up here with everything. So we've got our media passes and so forth. And we're obviously waiting for Paris Hilton. No matter what, we got to get Paris Hilton. But Rick Passmore is coming up to town. He's not getting paid for this. He's hustling up. He's paying $35 in parking. I'm crushing the halal food trucks outside. Where did you go? Hot dog and a beer outside?
I went to AOA. It was around the block. It was a bar called AOA. So I stopped in, had a pretzel that was as big as a pizza, essentially, for happy hour. So I put that down, and then it's like, okay, I got to get back and meet you. So
while I'm listening to Sarah Jessica Parker talk about who is the favorite Sex and City character, how about Miranda is now running for governor?
I'm watching draft coverage on ESPN2 with John Buchagrass on the 6P and just putting down this awesome hot pretzel at AOA. Shout out to AOA. That's a hell of a pretzel.
So we're there, and we're waiting for all the stars, and literally a couple of the stars come up. We're not sure who each of them are, and they give you a paper, right? You don't know who some of these people are. But as you're going to hear from Burt Marcus, the director, who's great, Fat Jew, who is great. I got to be honest with you. I don't know. Maybe I should know these things, but I don't know much about Fat Jew, except he's Ben Lyons' buddy, and he's a huge social media star. But he was awesome. Like, as you'll hear in the clips, he was really friendly to me. He told Ben afterwards he didn't realize how handsome I was.
He loved you. After we'll get to the after party after the review, but
yeah,
yeah, he said you were adorable.
I'm all in on the fat Jew. And now he goes by Fat Jewish as well. So apparently he told Ricky he doesn't have a podcast, but he wants to have a podcast just to interview me.
He wants to do a podcast to interview you and then have that be the only show you
have. The one and done. I love you, Josh. You're a good man. So he was great, and you'll hear from him and Bert in a second. And then Paris Hilton comes up. All right, we're going to get Brittany Furlan, too. Great with the Vine, everything. And then Paris Hilton comes up. We got to get her. All right. Taking a ton of pictures. Obviously, it's a huge event. Big frenzy. Goes to E! News, does the interview. Goes back to more pictures. We're waiting there patiently in line. It's us, CBS Sports Radio. Somebody else is doing Instagram stuff. Sure enough, she does the Instagram thing. Now it's getting tight, 7:55. Now we're about to the movie starting at 8 o'clock Eastern. Ben, we've already talked to. He's like, all right, hope you guys are getting your stuff. Yeah, all right. Now it's CBS News, and CBS Radio, excuse me. They ask a couple questions. I'm like, now we have no chance. And then the guy who's with her is saying to me, and I go, listen, just one question. He's all right, one question. Paris answers, I think, two or three from CBS and then bounces. So I'm like, the whole thing, we've got to get Paris Hilton here for Cinephile. We did not get Paris Hilton.
No.
But you were shooting the entire time, so you did cleverly take some video and post that on the Twitter.
The Instagram or Twitter or whatever social media video that gentleman was taking, where he got everyone coming up and saying, hey, just shout out Tribeca.
Yeah.
And so they did that there every time. Like, someone would come up, excuse me, they would come up and say, oh, yeah, we're here on the red carpet at the American Meme, blah, 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 blah. Shout out Tribeca, you know, doing their things. New York, awesome.
Yeah.
And she does her thing, and I'm there with the camera recording the interviews, and I'm like thinking, there's a possibility we don't get her. Let me at least just get B-roll. So I just snag off the video that they're doing, and as you know in the sports world, it's a presser. As long as I shoot my own video, that is now ours. I don't got to worry about it.
Nice.
So I shot that, and that's what you saw on the little teaser trailer on Twitter earlier this week. And sure enough, she gets to our spot. We have our little marking on the red carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
Little name tag that says Adnan Virk, Cinephile Podcast, ESPN. So I'm pretty sure a lot of these people were coming up going, the hell's ESPN doing here? Why is ESPN covering this?
I don't think about sports.
But as you learn, you know, as most people do with this show, you know, sports and movies collide with Adnan Virk and collide hard. But yeah, as soon as they get here, they get done with the fan with CBS Radio, and she's like, I gotta go. And like, yeah, just gone. Damn. But brush past. Like, if you saw the raw video of what I was shooting, getting ready to get her interview, it's literally her shoulder, her face, and the floor. Not the best use of the visual medium, but
like, okay, bye.
It was it. And then we were like, well, now we got to break down and get to our seats because we got to get in.
And how about our seats? Ben Lyons, executive producer, hooking us up. So we're watching American Meme. Excellent documentary from Burt Marcus. Fantastic. All about celebrity. And honestly, you look at these people who are these social media stars. Maybe it's easy to ridicule them and make fun of them. But honestly, they're genuine people, and they're hardworking, and they're ambitious, and they're original. And we're sitting there watching the movie. Literally, Paris Hilton is behind me, like the one row behind me, a little bit further down. So as I'm watching the film, I just keep sneaking back looks at Paris Hilton to watch her laughing at herself or giggling with embarrassment. And behind us is Brittany Furlan, who is the Vine star, who is currently dating Tommy Lee.
Engaged
to Tommy Lee.
I gotta say, because that, the rock she's rocking was huge.
Because when Brittany Furlan came on the red carpet, again, I don't know these things.
Good,
I'm like, okay, who's that? And when I see Tommy Lee, I go, they together? And you're like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, yeah, they're engaged.
Well, Tommy Lee on the red carpet, I'm just like, okay, he's just here. Because I don't know. Yeah. I didn't do my research. I should have. As most people on the Twitter realize, my research sometimes is
that's not true.
But he comes up to the Fat Jewish and just starts rubbing his ears out of nowhere. We get that on video, and I'm just like, this is, Tommy Lee has interrupted our interview, which you'll hear later on, has interrupted the interview to just kind of massage Josh Ostrowski's ears out of nowhere. And he's sitting behind me. So Brittany's sitting behind you.
Yeah.
She's 5'3", so doesn't have to worry about leg room. Yeah. Tommy Lee's 6'2", easily 6'2". And he is fidgety. So this documentary runs about, hour 40 or so, hour 45?
Yeah,
it's not bad. But I'm a bigger guy, so I'm kind of getting uncomfortable in the seat, so I've got to move a little bit. I get it. But Tommy is just, you know, I'm just getting kicked in the legs.
He wouldn't stop kicking your chair.
And it wasn't malicious. He wasn't doing it to be a jerk. He was just like, he's fidgety.
Yeah.
But I just think it's funny. I'm getting this story in my head. Like, I'm at this premiere with you and all these celebrities, Paris Hilton. I'm sitting right in front of Tommy Lee. He's got to look at my bald spot. It's, you know, I feel a little bit bad for him. And he's just kicking the hell out of my chair as I'm watching this documentary. It's like, I'm not mad. I've got a story.
It was very surreal. Literally, I'm looking back at Paris Hilton. I'm thinking 12 hours from now, I'm managing a Little League game. That's what I'm focused on. What's she doing 12 hours from now?
And I got to go back and do a Game 7 Cavs or Celtics mini movie back for like, SportsCenter.
How are we here? But seriously, watch American Meme. I don't believe that's distribution as of yet, but Burt Marcus, terrific documentary. I'm telling you, I don't want to spoil too much of it because I want everyone to see the movie, but I'm telling you, think of these people and you go, oh, you got your 15 minutes of fame, as Warhol once put it, and as they joked, maybe it's 15 seconds of fame, but honestly, there's more to it, all right? You think you know Paris Hilton? You think you know, but you don't know, all right? Brittany Furlan, you think, oh, she's just some girl, pretty girl, does a bunch of six-second vines as she's dating Tommy Lee. These are hardworking people. Fat Jew, Josh is smart. He thinks outside the box. He's ambitious. And I think oftentimes you have a perception of these people. If you got to know them, you hung out with them as we did a little bit, you go, oh, these guys are great.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I took away from the film as well, is that I grew up in the era of Paris Hilton, socialite, celebrity, famous for being famous.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a teenager when The Simple Life's on. So I'm pretty cynical as to what I think about her going into this same deal. And same thing with Fat Jewish, going into like knowing his controversy with the memes.
Yeah.
I have an idea of what these people are to me. And then you meet them.
Yeah.
And the perception changes.
Right.
Because Fat Jewish could have been a jerk. He could have just been, you know, standoffish. Paris Hilton could have just been, I'm a celebrity, I'm better than you. Yeah. And in the documentary, you see, that's not who these people are.
Right.
They're very kind to their fans. They're very much like want your fans to be a part of their lives as much as, you know, they are a part of their fans' lives in the way of social media and stuff. So going into that, you just have a completely different outlook going into it. It changes as you're coming out.
So we watched the movie. It was very good. I told Ben after, some parts remind me kind of like a Larry Clark, you know, kids. Sometimes you don't want to look away. Kirill, in particular, this one guy, I mean, he's just a disaster, the slut whisperer. Although I did think he was remarkably self-aware. I mean, Ben said his mom was like, seriously, this guy's going to kill himself. Like, it's unbelievable. The alcohol poisoning, the partying, it's scary at times, but at least he's self-aware. I think he realized he wants to get out of this trap. He just can't get out of it, right?
It's a scary mindset to have, because especially when you get famous at that age for doing a certain thing, and it's something I think about, like how my career has gone, and had this happened to me, had I figured out some way to be famous before I was ready to do it, when I wanted to get out, could I get out? When I wanted to go and do something else, would I have the ability to do that? Do I have the skills to find something else, or do I go and work a 9-to-5 and work something that's just beating me down emotionally and physically, and knowing that I used to live this former glory, but knowing you can't keep that up. I think that's another side of the Kirill story, where it's just like, this is a guy that wants out. Like, he loves doing what he's doing.
He just goes and parties. All he does is goes to nightclubs.
All he does is go to nightclubs and party.
Yeah, and
get drunk with people and take pictures.
And that's it. And picks right up women. And one of the things, one of the anecdotes he has in the film is like, you know, she's going to bed with me thinking it's the story. It was like, I'm doing the same thing.
Right.
I have this story that I'm just taking pictures and now I'm sleeping with these women.
Well, the one girl said to him, she goes, oh my God, I've never been with a celebrity before. And he goes, oh my God, you think I'm a celebrity?
Yeah,
really? This is what this is now?
But that's the 21st century. That's right. 21st century America. That's millennial celebrity.
This is Cary Grant of our time now.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I'd probably say, This is the Marilyn Monroe era,
right?
Where you, and like Marilyn Monroe was, and there's some allegories to her within the Paris Hilton side and everything too.
Yeah.
But you reach a certain status with what you're doing on social media,
right?
And that you're a celebrity. You have you break as soon as you break like a 250,000 followers, I think, on like Twitter or Instagram or whatever. As soon as people are taking notice and have you part of their lives as they're scrolling through their feeds, there's celebrity to that, and there's fame to that. And I think that's, you know, Bert kind of mentioned it, you know, talking about the 15 seconds of fame was 15 minutes. That could be 15 years because it's everlasting now. It's on the internet. It's not going away.
After parties of Rick Passmore and Paris Hilton in just a second, but now take a listen to the interviews that we got on the red carpet. Bert Marcus, the director, our boy Ben Lyons, the executive producer of the film, and the Fat Jewish. Take a listen.
I can't believe it.
That Philip brought his little brother on our mission into orbit.
How long until we get there? How long until we get there? How long until we get there?
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do?
Don't touch that!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, Bert, second time on the Cinephile podcast. I know this is one of the many highlights of your career.
I'm a fan of yours. Sports is my passion, so I am your biggest fan.
No, I appreciate that, man.
I'm not kidding.
Congrats on the film. Thanks, I'm so pumped to see it, obviously, because of Ben and our friendship. I can't wait to support it, but tell me all about it.
Yeah, first of all, I'm pumped that you're here because there's nobody better than you to be here and cover this. But on top of that, the film, I mean, it's such an apropos time to have a film on social media that covers such a broad array of people and talent and the highest of highs and the most potent of lows. And I think the film hopefully highlights and sparks up a really important conversation to be had right now and does it in a really entertaining way.
You've clearly shown, Bert, as a filmmaker, you get the zeitgeist of our times. Whether it's an EDM documentary or making a film about social media, you understand kind of what's tapping social conscience. Where does that come from?
I mean, I try my best. You know, with a name like Bert, you need all the help you can get. So you got to stay ahead of the curve, Adnan. You know this. That being said, I think it was always interesting to me. I was born and raised in L.A., and I think for me, and went back and forth between L.A. and New York since I was a child. And I think for me, seeing all the people moving to L.A. and New York and, like, trying to make a name and become, quote-unquote, famous for whatever reason was always intriguing to me, and I never understood the psyche behind it. And I wanted to really delve in and figure out a way that we can organically tell a story that was very character-driven and focused on people who, like I said, have reached kind of the pinnacle in the social media life, but also, unfortunately, have crashed from it. And it's a very interesting cautionary tale, to say the least.
Is Warhol's 15 minutes of fame line still apropos, or is that now wildly out of date? Because you can last as long as you want.
I think now it's 15 seconds. So it might be 15 seconds. Everybody's got their 15 seconds, but it's what do you have to do to actually, to sustain it? And really you have to create something tangible, something that you can take away with it. Which is why someone like Paris or Josh the Fat Jewish, say what you want about them, positive or negative, your feelings, they've been able to create something tangible that will stand the test of time and that they can take away from this. So they're not reliant on their fame anymore, which is kind of interesting.
I always love talking to actors, writers, directors who are sports fans. It's like, they want to talk sports. I want to talk movies, but I'll give you the outlet, whatever sport you want to talk about, whatever team you want to talk about, go ahead.
I mean, I was a ball boy for the Lakers as a kid, so I'm all day basketball. So I'm looking forward.
LeBron's going to LA.
So we got the playoffs right now. We'll see what happens. I mean, I want to see, obviously, Warriors, Houston's our final. It's our real finals. So we'll wait for that. And then, after that, we'll see. Free agency's going to be entertaining. That's for damn sure. And I'll be watching you to find out all the information.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, Bert.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Co-conspirator Ben Lyons, I'm here with you at the Tribeca Film Festival. I have a tough time getting this out because you're on the red carpet. We're on the red carpet together, but this is not the Academy Awards. You and I are wrangling guests. You are the executive producer of this film, my man. How you feeling?
I feel great. I know we left our penguin suits back in L.A. I'm taking a moment here to film on my Instagram my buddy, the Fat Jew, who is the subject of this documentary.
Yes.
This is a lot of my worlds colliding in one place. A native New Yorker, Fat Jew, Adnan, Rich Passmore, the Cinephile crew, Tribeca. I mean, this is a lot right now.
You also just got a text from your dad. It's unbelievable.
Like,
let's check what your dad just texted you right now. We'll reveal this later.
I'm more concerned about what my dad might text me after the movie. I hope we get a good review from the big guy. And he has no, you know, he will not do the whole, well, you're my son, so you get a good review.
Like, I'm Jeffrey Lyons. Okay, I'm getting a reputation uphold. Yeah, I'm going to damn you.
He's built this for 40 years. What's up, dude? This is my buddy Alex here.
Hey, how are you?
Manages the Fat Jew. So
oh, that's great.
There you go.
What's it feel? What's it like just to have your movie?
It's really cool, man. Honestly, jokes aside, I love this festival and I love Bert Marcus, and it's really cool to make something. You and I talk about things other people make.
Right.
all the time. This has been 2 years in the process. So to now be able to screen it here, I'm like on cloud nine right now.
That's awesome, man. Go Knicks.
Cool. Yeah, no Knicks in the playoffs, so we got to deal with Tribeca. But I'm really excited to see, like, to listen to your interview with Paris Hilton. Like, that's going to be a cinephile moment.
This is how you've got so
many great actors, actresses, and filmmakers over the years. It's only right to have Paris at Tribeca.
It's an impressive throng right now of media, so I wasn't sure if we'd get her. But you're right. As far as, like, actual conversations, there's only a few. It's me, Tribeca, E! News. Yeah. So we should be able to get Paris.
Who else does spring football in Alabama and Paris Hilton at the Tribeca Film Festival besides Adnan Verk? Incredible.
It's been a wild week. Congrats on the film, buddy.
Thanks, man. Cinephile forever.
Social media star. How did it all happen?
It's really, really unclear. 2018 is super weird. Honestly, what is going on in the world? Like, what does anyone do for a living anymore? Right. I met a guy the other day who told me that he was a brand disruption shaman. What's that? I don't know what that is, but apparently
he's a rabble rouser.
Yeah, it's really unclear, but apparently, like, he gets paid real money. It's who knows what anyone does for a living anymore. No one's like just like a podiatrist anymore. Like, everyone's jobs are insane now. So I have no clue how any of this happened.
But it's amazing to think you've achieved this level of fame through what? Ambition, hard work, desire, spontaneity, humor.
Yeah, just like, and also just like not caring, like really just being like, I will completely disrespect myself at all times and the name of my family and like the hard work of my immigrant parents in order to get where I am. Like, I was my willingness to do that really propelled me to where I feel like I might be at.
Speaking of disrespecting, I gotta have you throw some shade at our boy Ben Lyons. You've known him forever. What do you got on Ben that can embarrass him and humiliate him?
Oh my God. I have photos that will blow your whole mind. I have a video of Ben in like a towel, like, you know, female towel style with a head wrap towel dancing to I Want to Dance with Somebody by Mariah Carey, like in a full work, like a full work. I can send you said video.
Yes.
I would like you to see that. And I like, cause someone, it needs to be experienced by the mainstream media.
We're going to make it happen. Thanks, Josh.
Always a pleasure.
Hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/cinephile. That's ZipRecruiter.com/cinephile. ZipRecruiter.com/cinephile. C-I-N-E-P-H-I-L-E. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, we continue here in Cinephile. Honestly, check out American Meme. It's terrific, and I really hope that it gets a big distribution deal and it's a huge hit for Bert and friends, because obviously it's very good, and we're invested in it as well. Now, I got to take off. So they do the post-panel. I listen to about 10, 15 minutes, and I got to go. I got a little league the next day. Passmore hangs out. The floor is yours, because now this is where things get bananas.
So we get our wristbands for the after party, and I'm now to the point where I'm fish out of water. I don't know, like, I know Ben,
yeah,
and I can get contact with people through Ben.
Yep.
So as soon as I get in, I find Ben, and he's talking with two of his friends, and they were, I forget their names off the top of my head because I'm horrible with names, but shout out to them. They were sweet. We had a nice long conversation. They're from, his one buddy's from Brooklyn. They live in Brooklyn now. The fiance, she's from Baltimore originally, so had a nice talk about living in New York and what it's like, and coming back and art and all this stuff. So it goes on, and I'm just kind of shadowing him. Like, wherever he goes, I'm going, because I know nobody. And we start talking with Fat Jewish, and that's where we find out that he's got a crush on you, I think.
I love it. I reciprocate the crush. I'm enamored of him.
So we talk with him and just ping-ponging back and forth. I'm talking with the editor of the film, who was plugging a film he did with formerly of ESPN Ed Cunningham, who used to do color commentary for us.
Yeah.
He is actually an executive producer on this documentary called Finders Keepers.
I've seen it. It's about the leg.
The leg. And he was plugging that. And he's got this thick European accent telling me about like how video editing or film editing is. It's like, I love doing this. It's just great money. I love doing it. I do like three projects a year. It's great. And it's like, you work at ESPN. I did movie with Ed Cunningham.
Nice.
And like name dropping, I come to find out that Ed Cunningham actually did the King of Kong too, which is now back in the news.
Yep.
So look that one up if you haven't. So I'm talking with him, and I'm film nerd and everything, and I'm talking with Ben, and we're watching the end of the Utah game on his phone because we got to see what's going on. Cavs obviously took a big old, you know what, on game six, but, you know, we're here now. But he's hanging out, we're talking, and I'm telling him about my, you know, little film work and stuff like that and how financing goes between big and small and, like, all that kind of stuff. And then he's got to leave. Now this is where I'm really struggling. Because now I know zero people, and it is all just celebrities and maybe some press and their friends and a handful of fans that were able to get into the after party. So I'm fight or flight. I'm going, I got a 2-hour drive back to Connecticut. I'm pretty good. I haven't really been drinking. Like, I'm all right. Like, water. So do I just head back? It's about 1:30. So I figure, okay, well, I'm going to go at least say hello to Paris, introduce myself, you know, just chatter up for a hot second and then get out. So my one in is she's got this little light on her phone that's like a really soft light.
A warming light.
Warm light. It's like a 2600 if you follow lighting color. So I just say, like, how I think that's a genius move. It's great for your brand. And that, you know, the film changed my mind. And all of this is, you know, you've changed my mind on what you were.
She was standing with friends or she's by
herself? She was sitting in the corner of the room back with all, everyone else was there. But the party's dying down anyway. Like Tommy Lee and Brittany left. Josh had left. You know, Nikki had already left. So it's winding down, but it's still going. And so she turns and she's like, oh, thank you. Like, but starting to engage me in conversation, not saying, oh, thanks, bye. If you want to take a selfie, get out of here. She was very kind and she was very sweet. And she asked me, she's like, well, where are you from? I was like, well, I live in Connecticut now, but I'm from Ohio originally. And then she kind of stops for a minute and she turns to her fiance and just goes, babe, he's from Ohio. Come to find out her fiance, the actor Chris Zielka, he went to high school with my cousin at Howland High School back in Ohio. He's a year older than my cousin and 2 years older than I am.
Wow.
He also went to the University of Toledo, which is my alma mater, for a couple years before he had to leave. And so we're just broing out over Ohio, broing out over Youngstown, over Toledo. And it's just such a strange coincidence, just the weirdest moment of serendipity that this would happen. And you're getting to know these people beyond what they're seeing on the screen. And so I'm asking him, like, how did you guys get together? And he told me the story about how, like, they met and how he was kind of timid about meeting her at first. Like, they're both kind of shy outside of the limelight and everything. Mm. And he just said, I just had to go for it. And then we just started hanging out. And then next thing you know, a couple years later, and I'm like, that's awesome. That's amazing.
To go for it. Like, you're dating. You're going to get married to Paris Hilton.
To a much lesser extent. That was the same idea I had, just to say hi and, like, get out. You know, I just got to go do this. And then I'm there till 3 a.m. And I'm leaving with them and leaving with Bert, and that's where
you got a picture of Paris Hilton, which I got a selfie.
I got a selfie with her. I will tweet that out. Yep. And so, yeah, it went from I'm going to take off at 1:30. I had a good time. It was a cool experience. To I partied with Paris Hilton and got to know her fiance. And we tried to get her on the pod, but, you know, craziness happens. I try to get her in a phoner, but, you know, life is life. So maybe when the film gets distribution, we'll try again. We'd love
Ben
to have
gets
her
to
on.
That. He goes, when the movie gets distributed, I think they'll do a round of PR. So
yeah, so we'd love that. We'd love to have her on.
Get up, Zielka. You got to keep that young stuff.
Zielka will be like, he just got done with, I think, The Leftovers just finished up on HBO. If I'm not mistaken, that's what it was on. He did 4 seasons there. So he's going to have some projects, and his star is growing as well. So maybe we can get him on proper when he's got a film coming out. You know, we'll see what goes on.
That's the end. Boys with the fiance.
But he said this. When I gave him my number, and
how did that come up, by the way?
Well, that's where I brought up saying, like, well, we missed her on the carpet. We'll try and, like, get a hold of her. He's like, you want to get a phone interview with her? Just give me a call, man. We'll set it up.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, like, both I said, life happens. It happens. So, yep. But, like, I gave him my number and I still have my Ohio number, even though I live in Connecticut. And he's like, I'll always F with a 330. And it's like, that's Ohio for you. That we look out for our own, man.
I like it.
Whenever another Ohioan successful, as long as you're cool,
yeah,
we're happy. Like, we're our family. So
that's great, man.
More power to them.
We always look out for each other. All right, that concludes the stories. Quickly, a few more reviews, and then we'll finish up this Tribeca Cinephile episode. I saw a couple episodes of this show called Sweet Bitter, which is on Stars. It was awful. Avoid it like the plague. I saw two episodes because I had nothing else to do at that point. I had a little bit of a hole before I was going to go see Sarah Jessica Parker speak and then our American Meme screening. So, listen, it's filled with all the usual restaurant cliches. Avoid it at all costs. I did really like a documentary called Sidelined. It's very interesting because with all the talk about the cheerleaders right now in the NFL, Washington Redskins cheerleaders said they had to pose topless and said they were kind of being pimped out as escorts. And so this documentary is very good. I recommend it. It's only 40 minutes long. It's called Sidelined. And I hope it gets picked up somewhere and people can look for it. But it's about the San Diego Chargers cheerleaders who in the 1970s filed suit against the NFL because of the fact that, you know, for years, cheerleaders have just been criminally underpaid. And I get it that, fine, they know the deal. They know how much you're paying. But honestly, it's unfair the way that they're treated. And this documentary did a really good job of illuminating how these cheerleaders felt, how maybe it was taboo for some of them at the time, how they've all maintained friendships. So it was maybe a story you wouldn't expect about female empowerment, but I thought they did a nice job of tying it all together and obviously making it relevant to today while also showing you what the world was like in 1970s and just this whole concept of, all right, scantily clad women for this male-dominated sport, but how is this going to work on all ends? And somehow they made it work. And also a really good documentary called Time for Ilhan. That is going to be at the Hot Docs Festival, which is a huge documentary festival in Toronto for those that know it. And hopefully they get distribution at some point. That's the story of Ilhan Omar, who became the first Somali-American ever elected into office. And it's a really excellent story. I mean, it's David and Goliath style. There's actually quite a big Somali-American population now in Minnesota. There's about 70,000, I would say. And she runs for office, and it deals with the challenges. She's up against the incumbent, who's been there forever, who is openly saying, yeah, okay, Ilhan is prettier, and she's younger, and she's got this whole cool style. But obviously she's trying to overcome, you know, Islamophobia and all the rest of it going on. So at that point, it becomes a real challenge for her. And by the way, she's running against another Somali. So now you're dividing the own community. Rather than just, all right, all the Somalis vote for me. Well, no, you got another guy who's running. And she's worried that some of the older men are going to say, well, no, you know, vote for him, not her. And of course, this is when Trump was running. So she's battling Islamophobia. You know, at one point, one of the characters is like, oh, I've noticed that she's gotten older. She's wearing, you know, her silk hijab now, and her headscarves are more revealing. And she's like, listen, you can't wear a silk hijab. It doesn't tie anyways. And this is who I am. And they have this awful mudsling against her. They accuse her of multiple marriages and bigamy, and it's just awful. But it makes you appreciate how tough political campaigns are. These people are, especially the volunteers, the campaign managers, like in Minnesota for state legislature, you're doing this because you really care about your city and your community. You're doing this because you care about, in her case, college tuition and helping those who are underserved. I mean, it always does mind boggle. It's very easy to dismiss politicians and say, yeah, okay, they're a bunch of phonies or a bunch of liars. But hey, maybe I'm wrong, but in Time for Ilhan, you really feel like Ilhan Omar is genuine and personable and caring and doing so not for any money, but for love of the game. So it's a really good documentary. I hope people check it out. Her story is really good. If you Google Ilhan Omar, when she was on the cover of Time, she's obviously become a trailblazer for not only Somalis, but also Muslim women in America. So I really hope it gets a good distribution deal and people hear about it. Lastly, I can't believe this is happening. I'm going to be on the jury of a film festival, the Greenwich Film Festival. I'm one of three jurors who's going to determine the winner. They've sent me all the movies. I don't know how I'm going to do this, Ricky. I got to watch 10 movies in the next month. I mean, I know maybe that's not outlandish for me. I mean, the average two movies a week, but the problem is that there's always, you know, other movies I want to see, new releases and such. I can't wait. Paul Schrader's got a new movie out called First Reformed with Ethan Hawke coming out May 18th. I'm dying to see it. Amidst all the other stuff you want to see. I mean, Charlize Theron's got a new movie. So I'm going to see 10 movies. Here's how I think you do it, though, because I emailed the guy back and I said, you have to watch these. He said, well, yeah, I mean, you got to have notes and stuff. I just have to go down to Greenwich Friday, June 1st, one day, meet the other two jurors and say, all right, here's how I'm picking it, 1, 2, 3, and go from there. Is there any way that I can outsource this? You can't, right? I mean, no. I'm going to watch it. I can't say, well, Passmore told me.
No, because we have different tastes.
Right. So I'm going to have to watch.
I can't pick your picks for you. That's not right.
We're going to have Mark Teixeira on Cinephile at some point. Of course, the great baseball player who's now my good friend here at ESPN on Baseball Tonight. Tex is the one who hooked this up because Teixeira is on the board of the Greenwich Film Festival. So he obviously knows about Cinephile, knows my passion and love for movies, and he got me connected. Mike Greenberg's done some stuff. Priscilla's done stuff. But yeah, I think they just hosted like a panel. They have not been jury members.
The jury's pretty big. Jury's, right? Yeah, that's a sizable credential right there. Like, you run a panel, that's, you know, you're using your talents, you're using your right. your sports acumen, your broadcast history. Running a panel, like, this is some big time credential for you to get some work, and maybe eventually we can get you a producer on a film. We can get you some actual Academy voting.
I was going to say that is the next step.
We need to talk to Ben Lyons about that. Whatever's coming up in the works that we can at least get you in the PGA in some form.
I think Ben was saying, I got to get in the BFC, the Broadcast Film Critics Association, because he goes, rather than you schlepping up to New York to see Phantom Thread or Silence, stories of which I find quite amusing on your podcast, he goes, if you pay like $100 a year, you'll get all the screeners. Like, it's going to change your life.
The one thing I got to say about that, because I've seen screeners before, there's nothing like going to the theater to see, especially something like Phantom Thread, shot on 70mm. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
As opposed to watching a DVD with a watermark on it on a stereo sound. It's essentially watching it on your phone. But if you're just watching it to get another thing, yeah, I guess so. But
you're right. You and I are purists. There are certain films, no matter what, will go down dying, arguing vehemently, you've got to watch it on the silver screen. So Tex will be coming up at some point, and I'll start watching all these movies for the Greenwich Film Festival. If you're in Connecticut, please come check us out June 1st at the film festival. So for Rick Passmore, Dan Stanzik is currently busy in a meeting with his actual job. I'm Adnan Burke. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time at the movies.
Don't miss out on the next episode of Cinephile. Subscribe to the Adnan Burke Movie Podcast by clicking the Listen tab in the ESPN app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.